Good morning to Lindsay, to Don, to Andy, Bob Ferguson in the background. How's everybody doing today?
Doing well.
Good morning. Yeah. Very well, thank you.
A little cold yesterday. Everybody make it through?
Yeah, it was chilly, for
sure. The dog made it through.
Oh, boy, the dogs just don't like it, do they?
They don't. We had to we have to fight them. We have to put those little booties on them because it's just, there's a lot of salt out there and just it's cold.
I have tried the booties to no avail. You know what you might want to try, Andy, is the Musher's Secret.
Ooh.
Have you heard about that?
I have not.
It sounds tasty.
I sprinkle it on my cornflakes. It's delicious. It is like it's a salve that comes in a little, it kind of resembles Vaseline. And it's almost like a little moisturizer, but it's a little barrier. Take the little paws of the pet and you put it on there. Now, the key I have found is you got to do it right by the front door because if they run around like on the hardwood floor, you'll see little marks of, you know, like you had hand lotion on here. And it's not the end of the world. But it in particular, you know, we have two dogs, and the smaller dog is a name of a breed I don't say on the radio because I'm old school.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you. God bless you. So she will let me put that on there, and it works.
Yeah, we use the old deductive logic. The last time it was cold, he was fighting us, so we let him outside. He went right back in and let us put the booties on. He's no dummy.
He's a smart dog.
He's no dummy.
That is funny. Now, do any of you fight when it gets really cold about the thermostat? You know, the setting of the thermostat.
Literally just this morning.
You did?
Oh, I mean, we do it all the time, but I just... My husband's been out of town all week, and he came home last night, flipped it down, and I woke up and flipped it up.
Oh, so he runs hot. He doesn't like it warm.
Yes.
Don?
Yeah, we just have, in the condo, we just have, like, the furnaces in each room, so we just decide whether or not to turn them on.
Got it. And Andy?
Yeah, I run.
Your lovely bride?
I run very warm. She runs very cold, so we've found a very happy medium.
I saw this thing on Instagram, and it's from a dad, right? It's on a thermostat, and there's like a post-it note that says, and the thermostat is set at 70 degrees, and it says, before turning the heat on, and it says, do you, ? Have socks on, and then there's a saying, yes or no. Long sleeve shirt, yes or no. Underwear and pants, yes or no. See your breath. No, yes. And then on the column where, you know, the first one of all these things, if you had them on, there's an arrow that says, no heat needed. And then on the other side, if you answered no to all those questions, it says, get dressed.
That's good.
Yeah.
You know, if you're walking around with, you know, shorts on, it's winter.
Right.
Right?
Of course.
Yeah, and gas, it is expensive these days, the heating.
It's interesting you bring that up, Don, because today we're going to have a conversation with a company out of Tennessee that makes wood-burning furnaces. And you can retrofit your existing furnace to burn firewood as your heat source. And you put in about a wheelbarrow full of wood in this thing, and it can burn up to 20 hours.
Wow.
And the average home uses about 3 to 4 cords of wood. Now, I got to figure out, you know, that's a lot of wood, and you need a lot of space for that, right? So it isn't like you're not going to do this in the city.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But, you know, if you live in southeastern Wisconsin, or you live out near Rockford and you've got some property, it might be worth it.
Yeah, it sounds really cool.
Right. Oh, I know you guys are waiting for the word of the day as well, right?
Oh, yes, we are.
Yes.
Well, you know the word.
I do.
Okay, the word of today for Don and Andy and Lindsay and myself and the callers, it's a noun called lethargica.
No.
Nope. Lethargica.
No. Read this.
Lethologica. 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 Whoa. There was no way that that is spelled that you would come up with Lee.
Right.
There's no
right.
way. It's L-E-T-H-O-L-I-G-I-C-A.
Right.
Why wouldn't it be two E's?
Yeah, or an I.
I had to listen to the phonetic.
Lethologica. The inability to remember a particular word or name. Well, I just said it.
Yeah, there it is. I feel
I'm done.
Remember,
I'm like, done.
Wow, that actually, that's a great word, because I feel oftentimes that I fail to remember like a source
that I'm
citing.
I feel like this show oftentimes forgets words, and it is like our theme word.
It's a House Smarts Radio. Lethological. That'll be our t-shirt.
What's that word?
Lindsay, what's the name of that? Lindsay, what's the name of that company we talked about 17 years ago? And then you, like, I'll see you light up going, like, I know what it is. It's on the tip of my tongue. It's good.
So what happens?
Lethological.
What happens if you forget Lethologica?
Yeah, right. Lethologica. You have your marching orders. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's get things going.
Good morning, Lou. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for waking up with us. How may I help you?
Well, I have an odd question for you. I have lived in my current home for under a year, and I have noticed from day one it has a large amount of dust just everywhere. Mm. I have cleaned the vents. I have vacuumed around there, and it doesn't seem to do anything. So I thought maybe I needed to have my ducts cleaned.
Right.
So I Googled some local companies, and along with a list of companies, there were an abundance of articles where people have given their opinions that this is kind of a useless act and I shouldn't be wasting my money on it. Hmm. So I would like your opinion.
Well, I'll tell you what. I disagree with that, and I think that in all the years that I was a home builder, right, I have done mm-hmm. a lot of demolition in older homes, and I'm sure that someday my lungs are going to suffer from that because, you know, I was of the era where we didn't wear safety glasses and masks and all that kind of stuff, and my buddy Mike Jakubowski and I, who were both in business together, we commiserate about this quite often. Like, boy, were we dumb when we were young. And the amount of dust and the amount of dust and debris that I can consistently tell you that came out of old ductwork was amazing. So if the process is done correctly, I realize that when you look at these videos, they're all like set up like, oh my gosh, look at, you know, they make it look like, you know, you were in the desert and they're filled with sand and, you know, they blow the stuff out.
Yeah.
But which is not the case. But the quality contractors will use not only a vacuum that they connect to your main furnace, but they will use this air whip. And I've talked about this before. It's kind of like if you remember your Greek mythology. Remember Medusa had the head of snakes?
Yep.
So it's like that. And they run this thing down there, and it blows all this air, and it kind of rattles around, literally shaking the metal. And then as the dust is flying and the air is, you know, injecting itself into the ductwork, then they then use the vacuum to clean it all out. And then they'll individually go in there. So, but here's the thing. While I think that it's a definite benefit from an indoor air quality and hopefully reducing the dust you have in the home, yours might be more atmospheric than anything. Now, you live in Gurnee, correct?
Correct.
A lot of houses around you, or are you out in the open? Is there a lot of wind?
I am not out in the prairie. I have a cute little subdivision. And I've actually lived out in the Southwest,
right.
Never had the amount of dust I have in the... I dust 2 to 3 times a week.
All right, one other question.
My dust
Have
is
you
so
noticed in like one particular room, is there more dust than another?
No, it's throughout Everywhere. The entire house.
Okay.
Even my teenager notices it. And
That's,
she notices nothing.
That's dusty, right. She notices that I'm hungry yes. and you didn't make me a sandwich.
Yeah.
Here's what one other thing. What is the age of your home?
The subdivision was built in, I think they broke ground in 89. So it's not that old.
Right.
The home I owned prior to this was 140 years old, and this is considerably dustier.
All right. I want you to try this as a test, and this is something you can do yourself.
Sure.
I want you to go to the hardware store, the home center, and I want you to buy one or two caulk tubes of latex clear caulking.
Okay.
Pick a room in the house, like your front room that you spend the most, whatever room you spend the most time in. What's the flooring in there? Is it carpeting or is it some type of hard surface?
It's a hard surface.
Okay.
With throw rugs.
Okay. Around the perimeter of the house, I want you to, you know, move the furniture in a little bit, and then I want you to clean off all the baseboards, and I want you to caulk the baseboard to the floor and the baseboard to the wall.
Okay.
And you're going to squeeze this there. Use your finger to make it nice and smooth. It'll go on white, but it'll turn clear. Around every window, I want you to caulk the trim to the walls, okay, and the trim to the windows using the clear caulking. Again, it goes on white. When it dries, it's going to. So we're trying to seal any air infiltration that would come in. And you may know, you may notice when you do this, even on a day like today. I mean, I know it's not crazy cold like it was yesterday. You'll be going down by the baseboard going, oh my gosh, there's like a draft coming in. And if we seal that up, it's going to do one of two things. Well, it'll do two things. It will warm up that space, especially in the winter, and even in the summer, help you when you're air conditioning. But it may help you to control this dust. And if you do that and all of a sudden you're like, I'm still dusting two times a week, Lou, thanks a lot. But, huh, in this room it's not that bad. I'm going to do the rest of the house.
Okay. I can do that. I'm a good little caulker.
That's Peggy's T-shirt. House Smarts Radio. I'm a good little caulker. All right, good little caulker. You have your marching orders. Thank you for calling and being part of the show this morning. 6:23 in the morning. Lou Manfredini broadcasting from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. I sat down on the couch and I had a cup of coffee, and our dog Bruno, who also thinks that he's a cat, like climbs up on top of the couch, and he just comes over on the top of the couch like a cat, and he puts his head on my shoulder, just like nuzzled right there. And I'm there having my coffee, and I'm going, and I'm checking email on my phone, and I go, look at this dog. This dog is like the most affectionate, loveliest dog. And I took a picture of it, and I posted it. And we should do more things with dogs, because on Facebook... On Facebook, about 500 people posted pictures of their cute dogs. And I can't even say the breed of my second dog. That's funny. Too. Everybody loves dogs. And there's a really funny, you know, I did the, Lindsay and I put together the kitchen makeover video. And there's one scene in the video where Bruno, said dog we just spoke of, is like basking in the sun while I am speaking on the camera. And there's a funny little thing that Lindsay picked up on that we have a little fun with at the end. And quite frankly, Bruno closes out the video.
He does.
He's a cute dog. He's a good boy.
We know right where to scratch him.
Oh, yeah. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. This is Tom in Round Lake Beach. Hey, Tom, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Well, good morning, Lou. Let me get back in my house here. You hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good, good, good. I'm building an outdoor kitchen coming in the springtime here.
Awesome.
And the countertop, I've been going back and forth. And, well, let me tell you, I'm on a budget. I'm on a very, very tight budget. I'm retired. And I thought of a concrete countertop. I went on YouTube, and it looked kind of easy, but nah, I never be able to pull that off right. My thought was use a laminate flooring, like, you know, look like a butcher block kind of thing, and glue it down, and then give it a lot of coats of like a marine-grade polyurethane. What do you think of that?
I don't love that idea. I mean, while while the laminate flooring or the luxury vinyl, it is 100% waterproof. It's the UV that it's not protected from. It does have a coating like that, but even if you put a bunch of spar varnish on there, you will get separation from that floor because of the extreme temperatures. Yesterday's a perfect example. Let me ask you this. How big is this? How big are you going to make this counter? And is it going to be, are there going to be like two sections? Like you'll put a grill and you'll have one section on the left and the right? Or do you need it to have like a custom, you know, cutout?
Well, it's going to be like 10 feet long. My grill and stuff will be at one end of the gazebo. And then the long end will be about 10 feet long and countertop depth. I'll have like an induction stovetop on there.
Nice.
And whatever. And maybe a sink. But yeah, the UV, so it will be shaded, but yeah, I hadn't thought about it like yesterday, so it's 0 degrees, and then the summer is going to be...
There's a product that is made in large pieces that is, and I don't know why I can never remember the brand name, it's Lethalogica for me, I can't remember the brand. Thank you.
So good.
I know, right? I did that. Anyway... where are you? Round Lake Beach. I want you to take a drive. Yeah. I want you to call a company in Glenview called Stone Cutters. And I want you to talk to them about the large panels of unglazed porcelain that they distribute. So
unglazed
porcelain. And they're inch and an eighth thick. And they come in a bunch of different patterns and colors. And basically, you're going to build your countertop, okay? Tom, do you drive a pickup truck or anything like that?
Well, I have a trailer.
Okay.
And an
All right.
SUV.
All right, so you have the ability to go pick stuff up. So
yeah.
You're going to
yeah.
go and you're going to look at this stuff. If you create this counter you want, they can cut these large tiles for you and you can put it down like a jigsaw puzzle. And then you're going to use really good caulking like NPC Solar Seal on the individual seams. You won't have a ton of them because they're large pieces. And you and a friend are going to set these things on top of it. I have this exact product on my front porch and walkway on my house and have for the past 5 years.
Wow. Yeah, that's another thing I could use.
It's fabulous. Stone Cutters in Glenview, they're unglazed porcelain slabs that are used in outdoor landscaping applications. They will show you that, and it's worth the drive. Trust me on that. 857-557-4LOU. Apologies to Don Kleppen. It's 6:32 in the morning. Need to head into the WGN Radio newsroom and check in on news.
Good. I'm fortunate in calling you from Florida, where we don't have the weather that you folks have to contend with, and it involves my air conditioning unit.
Okay.
I've got a... it's a train unit, a nice small 2-ton capacitor. For the last 2 months, when the thermostat calls for cooling, it periodically will make a rat-a-tat-tat, like a brrr, before the blower engages. I've had a 30-year experience electrician here for off and on for 2 months, and he, for the life of him and me, we can't find the source of this. We replaced the thermostat with a new remote control. He's tested everything for continuity every time he comes, and we replace the capacitor on the blower fan. We on the outside condenser replaced two wiring blocks that were salt crusted. Replace the fast start boost tester on the outside, and we've even replaced the blower motor with a new one. This guy is on my side, and he just cannot track this thing down. The noise only happens when the thermostat is calling for cooling, and it might do it 4 times in a 24-hour period, or not anything for 2 days. And it's like a machine gun in the movie. It goes, but other times it will go for 5, 6 seconds at a time, and that sounds like an eternity. So
yeah, I mean what it sounds like to me is, you know, that capacitor that's on the condensing unit itself. But you said you already replaced that.
Because, yeah, replace that.
You know, because with a compressor, an HVAC compressor, that capacitor is basically how it jump starts the compressor to start. It throws, it builds up the energy, and then it's like a defibrillator for the thing to kick it on. And that, when those go bad, it literally is. When those go bad, you usually get that rattling. The only other reason you could get the rattling, I mean, and I'm not, you know, you said you've got this 30-year electrician, is the wiring from the, the wiring that leads from the disconnect to the compressor undersized. But I would think that he would already have checked that. Because if the wiring is
it's
inside probably an encased, waterproof, tubing going into it. But if that wire size is too small, you can get a rattle there when the capacitor kicks on. And the same holds true for the wires that then come into the unit itself. How old is that compressor?
It's over 10 years old, and it runs quietly.
Right.
It's old. The condenser is probably, he studied that, and he thought, it could be the wiring, and it transmits through the line set up the side of the building across 2 apartments that are between me the condenser unit in the attic and down into my furnace room. You know, and that's 50, 60 feet away.
So when you're in your place, you're not anywhere near this condensing. Uh-huh. You're not anywhere near this condensing unit.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the sound is in your unit.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
and
that
the squirrel cage is just solid. We've cleaned it. The motor is brand new, and it doesn't need the booster now it's an upgraded one. Hmm. And he just cannot locate it. And the dumb thing, it will be quiet for 2-3 days at a time, and then all of a sudden repeat the chattering. And it's driving both of us crazy.
One other question. In relationship to where your air handler is, do you have your own...
Uh-huh.
Do you have your own electrical box?
Yes.
Okay. And is that near the air handler?
Yeah, it's 15 feet away. I can see it from standing in front of the furnace. I can see my main electric panel, and it's got breakers at control.
And that sound, to the best of your knowledge, is not emanating from there and or the where you live and the age of your place. Is all your electrical in pipe, or is it all Romex?
It's pipe. I'm pretty sure it's 35 years old.
Okay. Right.
But the noise, my easy chair is right in front of the furnace door, and that noise comes from that closet. I hear what you're saying. Disconnect the main switch and everything might just be off just a touch, but it doesn't chatter there, and you reset it and
well okay that. so my Based on everything you just told me and you know, looking at it from, you know, because what happens with, you know, it sounds like you've got somebody really want to figure it out, you two, and you get into it, you know, you're almost like horses with blinders on. You're like, what is it? What is it? If I had to guess, based on what you're telling me, I think the breaker in the panel needs to be replaced. And because there could be some fault there. And then I need to have the electrician check the wire size to make sure that that is appropriate for the draw. Like maybe it needs to be a, you know, a number six wire and it's only, you know, and it's a 10 or I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that after everything you just told me, that I would default to the wire size and the breaker.
It just feels very logical. It might not be tripping,
right?
But
right.
It's for, and that's what it like the old days. The switches used to have those contacts,
right.
And they would get crud on them and
right.
chatter.
Right.
That's what I thought it was initially, but
now
there's none of those contacts anymore.
I have one other thing that we could try. You know, if you tell me the name of the breaker box that you have, I can run to the hardware store and get some wire and some breaker. I can pick up Lindsay, and then we could drive down to Florida, Lindsay, for like a week. Are you close to the water?
I mean,
we have room. You would be welcome.
I just want to sit in the easy chair and just make sure that nothing is vibrating, except the chair.
And there's probably. And you could take 4 or 5 days to test it.
Anyway. Sure. You don't want to rush it. You don't want to. No, it sounds good now. It sounds good now, Ken, but maybe we give it a couple more days. I'll be at the pool. If you hear anything, I'll be back.
Yes, I'm on your side.
All right. Try all this. Great. Will you do me a favor? Try all this. And if it works, call me back. And if it doesn't work, I never want to hear from you again.
I hear what you're saying. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure listening to you, even down here.
You're kind. Thank you very much. 857-557-4LOU. Hey, we're broadcasting from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Lisa, I can't even say the word. What it was. Anyway, I have a serious issue. The house we're renovating, we had a gas leak.
Oh, no.
And I got that capped off. When I was capping it off, I noticed that the furnace, the boiler heat, was vented through our fireplace that I want to open up. They have a cap on it, but is that safe?
Wait a minute. Your boiler goes into a chimney that also services the fireplace?
Yes, they have it capped off. They have this thing that's built into the side of it, or the front. It's screened. Haven't smelled gas, but I'm wondering about how safe that is.
I guess I'm not following. So your boiler, the vent of the boiler
goes into the fireplace.
But it goes in. What you say? Go into the fireplace. It's not going in to like the front of the fireplace. It's going into the chimney of the fireplace.
Right. And the fireplace is the floor above it.
Correct. But your home has a basement?
Yes.
Okay. And when I'm in the basement, I'm looking at the boiler, there is some type of steel piping that goes into like a brick chimney or something, correct?
Right.
All right. And then when I go upstairs to the fireplace, is that a wood-burning fireplace or a gas fireplace?
Wood-burning.
Okay. And if I open up the damper and I look up into the flue, have you done that? Do you know what you see? Because my guess is...
It's capped.
What is capped?
It's capped off. The fireplace opening in the living room is capped off.
So you
some kind of a screen.
So you cannot, you do not build fires in this fireplace.
No, but I wanted to open it up, and I didn't know if it's safe to use it for that.
Okay, I need you to write this website down. I want you to go to LindemannChimney.com, or actually go to cleanfireplace.com, and you can schedule a inspection and a cleaning, which will not cost you a lot of money, but it will give you the reassurance that they can come and inspect the chimney. They can also take a look at this boiler and make sure that that vent is proper. The way it normally works is the fireplace, that flue that goes up is a separate deal. And so that other pipe should go up by itself in a clay pipe. Or in a metal pipe or whatever it might be going up there. But Lindemann can inspect it and make sure that it's all safe to use. If it needs to be cleaned, you know, it can all be cleaned and everything. And then they can say, go ahead, lady. Everything's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't smelled gas with whatever they're tapping it with, but, you know, my concern is if, like you said, if I can actually use it for a wood-burning fire.
Right, but you need somebody to come and inspect it and make sure that it's good to go.
Yeah, I wouldn't try to do something like that myself.
No, not at all.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You got it. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. This is Pam, who's calling in from the South Side. Hi, Pam. You're on House Smarts Radio.
How you doing, Lou? Good morning. I wanted to find out, I'm seeing cracks start to pop up in the ceiling, like in two of the rooms upstairs and two of the rooms downstairs. And who would you call if you just want to check the soundness of a house?
Well, I mean, as far as you know, is it drywall or plaster or, do you know?
I'm not sure. I thought it was drywall. And
how old is the
my
house?
Brother came in with it.
How old is the house?
61 years old. 61 years old.
It could be plaster. But
okay.
I mean, and they're just cracks, right? They're not like, stuff's not falling out the ceiling.
Well, cracks in three of the rooms and the back room on the second floor, it looks like it's denting in. I'm almost thinking, I don't know if it's a beam or something that you can just see. It's, you know,
right.
I just had a handyman come in. He took a broom and kind of tapped up. He said he thinks it's okay, but I'm always nervous about it.
Understood.
But the other room is just it's cracks.
Mm-hmm.
But that one room looked like a beam or something. I don't know. That's dented in or something. And I just want to know who would you call just to check the house. I want somebody just to check out the house.
Yeah. I mean, one other question. You have a basement in your house, Pam?
A crawl space.
Crawl space. And is it, can you see inside there?
Can I see inside the crawl space?
Yeah. Do you have access to it, or you have to, like, open up a door or something like that?
Oh, you have to open, it's the door in the floor of the utility room.
Got it.
I put a step ladder down there, so anybody that goes down there, they can
get back
good,
out.
That's about 4 feet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the thing is that my guess in what you're describing is it's just cracks. I would hate to tell you to go hire like an engineer to come and inspect the home, but, you know, I don't know that a home inspector is the right person to do either. So I'm just trying to think of who, you know. PermaSeal would be somebody that would give you a free inspection to go look at that crawl, but these ceiling cracks and stuff doesn't sound to me like that's anything from a foundation perspective. It's more of a settling in a 61-year-old house, and you get these little cracks, and I don't know that you have to worry about it, but that being said, that's not going to give you the sort of the peace of mind that you need.
Right.
So let's try this. There's a terrific website from the NARI, the National Association of the Remodeling Industry. And if you were to go there, NARI.org, okay?
What is it again?
N as in Nancy, yeah. A as in Apple, R as in Robert, I as in Illinois.org.
Okay.
Okay. Type in your zip code and look for structural building inspectors. It's not going to be inexpensive for them to come and poke around and look around, but they will at least be able to give you they'll be able to give you some peace of mind to tell you, oh, lady, you got this problem, or you don't have this problem. And I think that'd probably be a really good place for you to start. Pam, thanks so much for the phone call. Hey, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Don Kleppen. Don't go away. We'll be back soon. It does put a little spring in my step when I hear it.
What was the rejoin that we used with the, is it Say My Name?
I don't remember.
Where it has Lethologica? A very strong case of Lethologica. When you're trying to talk about the baseball player.
Okay, you're forcing it. That was not natural. You're forcing it.
I'm actually asking about the rejoin because I asked you to play it earlier and you didn't.
What?
You had another Lethologica moment. I'm not using that right now.
All right, I have two questions for all of you. One is, if you won the lotto, Don did a story about the lotto and the jackpot.
Oh, yeah.
And you said that most people take the lump sum. I would take the annuity.
Me too.
Because that would be too much pressure to have a gazillion dollars all at once.
Give me the cash.
Really?
I want the cash.
Andy, okay, so Don, what's the jackpot now?
700 is the estimated jackpot for the annuity.
So 700 million, half of it's going to go to taxes. You're going to get $350 million. If I took an annuity, what am I going to get, like $20 million a year, something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
How much do you need? If I said to Andy, you right now, Andy, I'm going to give you $20 million.
Thank you.
Go away. You could go away.
Peace out.
I mean, you're done. I'm out.
You're out.
Yeah. I'm taking my wife and my dog and the booties, and I'm out of here. And where we're moving, the dog will never wear booties again.
Right. I will suffer from Lethologica. Right? I'll forget your name.
I would take the annuity.
Yeah.
And then you would be able to see, because of course you're going to help people, right? Because you're going to do that anyway.
Of course.
And so you're going to say, oh, I'm going to give some to the church. I'm going to give some to the synagogue. I'm going to give some to the Misericordia, whatever. And every year, everybody, when I get a check, I'm going to give you a check.
Give me the cash.
Yeah, I just don't want to. I don't want to leave that much on the table. You know, that for me is basically like you're forfeiting, you know, half of what you won. Based on getting it short term versus the long term.
See, here's the pessimist in me thinking, okay, well, what if the lottery runs out of money?
Right, but if you had in the first year, you're not gonna.
True,
you still have $20 million.
But I want what's entitled to me from that.
I
know?
Guess, I guess.
And I can do anything I want with it at this particular point.
True,
in time.
True. Yeah, that'd be a lot of pressure, though.
True. If you have an idea for an investment, maybe.
I can handle the pressure.
I can take it. Bring it on.
Speaking of handling the pressure, real quick, you know, with the Super Bowl coming up, I'm trying to come up. I think we're probably going to have like a little family Super Bowl party, and I always like to cook something between the two teams, right?
Nice.
And so obviously Philly cheesesteak is an easy one, and I guess barbecue for Kansas City.
Kansas City barbecue. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
There's like that, what is it, Bryant, 80 Bryant or something, their barbecue sauce from Kansas City that's supposed to be really, really good, which could be good. And I could do, Lindsay, if you came over, I could do barbecue cauliflower. That's a very popular thing.
Oh, I have heard this.
Yeah, it's a new thing. Yeah, it's cauliflower's for everything. But here's the story that I love, and I don't know if you saw this story, but there, for the first time, there are two brothers who will be competing against each other in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
This is correct.
The Kelce brothers. Yep. And so I saw an interview on the Today Show with the mom, Mrs. Kelce, and it was really sweet. She was wearing a split, you know, jersey, right?
It's intricate,
and,
too.
And she goes to both teams. Now, they were saying, you know, who are you going to root for or whatever, but she said the one nice thing is that both of her sons play offense. So they don't, one is a center, the older one,
correct,
and the other one is that amazing receiver, right?
Correct. The tight end. Yep. Yeah.
The tight end, right? And the guy can catch anything. It's unbelievable.
Right.
So she's like, I'm just hoping for a high-scoring game and go offense. You know, just go to that.
Nice.
And then they said, well, you know, who are you going to root for? And she said, well, my older son, the one I guess that's on the Eagles, who's the center, said, well, you're going to, I don't know the guy's first name. What's the guy's name?
Jason.
And what's Travis. The guy's name on Kansas City?
Travis.
Travis. Yeah. Well, Mom, you're going to root for Travis because he's the baby in the family, right? She's like, well, you know, you did give me grandkids. So I think it's going to be a tough one. But that's,
talk
you
about
know,
pressure.
Right, right. She's like, well, one of them's not going to be happy.
Yeah, but one will be a winner.
Yeah, you know, one has won one before. I think they both have won one before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Jason Kelsey's been on the Eagles for a while.
Yeah, he was there for the Philly special when Nick Foles caught the pass in the end zone against the Patriots, and Travis won one with the Chiefs already.
Wow. Well, that's good. All right. Well, good luck to the Kelsey family.
Yes, go Kelsey's.
Go Kelsey. 857-5574, Lou. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines. This is Sylvia, who's calling in from Racine. Hi, Sylvia. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. This is Sylvia. Thanks for taking my call. I listen to you every week, and I'm hoping you can solve my problem.
Yes, ma'am.
What I have is I have a 12-year-old Kohler shower faucet that started to leak. So I called the plumber. He replaced the cartridge, and it worked fine for a couple weeks. All of a sudden, then, when you'd go to turn off the faucet, it would catch, and the water wouldn't turn off, and then you'd have to push it harder to turn it off. But then, between the handle and the wall shield, that metal piece would turn and get loose. So then you'd have to tighten that back up.
Wow.
So I called the plumber back, and he replaced the handle. He put a spacer in. He pulled the faucet out somehow, however he does it. It works for a while, and then it goes back to doing the same problem. So I'm wondering, do you have any solutions? Do you think it's the cartridge is faulty?
Okay. So he puts it in. Everything's fine. And then a couple weeks later, when you go to turn it off, it, like, won't go far enough, and you have to, like, really give it some force to turn it off.
Correct.
And then when you did that, you actually moved the excussion. This is a single-handle faucet, correct?
It's got a shield on the back of the wall where it covers up the hole
like
in the shower.
Chrome or whatever, right?
Yes. And then it has a middle piece, and then it has the faucet handle.
Right. But all of that, piece. But the handle and everything, just trying to think about why this is doing this. But now, so today, what's it doing today?
Mm-hmm. It's back to, you turn it off and it catches a little bit, then you push it a little harder, and then that's loose. And then, actually,
when you say it catches, in other words, so it's a single handle faucet that you turn counterclockwise to turn it on.
Yes.
And the further you go, it's hot water, and then you come back and it's cold. Correct.
Correct.
Okay, so it turns on, no problem. And when you go all the way before it catches, or when it does catch, is it still water still coming out at that point?
Yes.
I see. And then when you go...
So you think it should be off.
Right, but it's not.
But it's still running water.
Got it. Mm-hmm. And then when you force it, then it turns off.
Correct.
Okay. So my guess is there's in either the cartridge or that sleeve, there's something that is grabbing onto the handle, even though you said you replaced the handle, that's just not allowing it. In other words, if we close it all the way and then once you do that, it's off... Well, then the cartridge is doing its job. So now there's something on the outside, whether it's that, if I'm thinking about this Kohler faucet the right way, you've got the large excussion, there's a protrusion that comes out of the center, and there's like a metal sleeve that covers that, you know, you look at it and it's kind of round, but it has a little, it goes up, over, and down. It's got like a slot that slides in there. That piece, what I would do as a test is I'd take the handle off, I'd take that sleeve off, I'd put the handle back on and see if it works without that sleeve. And if it's like, if it's working, no problem, nothing's catching, then there's something in that sleeve, like it's not in far enough that's catching the handle. And there could be a piece of debris, it could be a little bent piece of metal or something that is a coincidence of all this replacement.
Okay. I'll give that a try. And hopefully that'll solve my problem. And then with it being a Kohler faucet, if that's the problem, they should replace that part?
That part that I'm speaking of is an excussion. They may, but it's more of a trim piece.
Okay.
All right. Give it a try.
Well, we'll give that a try. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sylvia. I appreciate you calling this morning. It's 7:21 in the morning, 7:22 in the morning. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. How are things in K-Town?
It's cold today.
Yeah.
It's really cold.
Do you live in the part of Kenosha where the that statue of Lindsay is, you know, right by, what was the name of the school? St. Joseph's, right? We're in school.
I don't live too far from St.
Joseph's. There's a statue there, kind of an angelic woman standing there holding a guitar. Yeah. You've seen it?
Yes, I have seen it.
It hasn't been ripped down yet.
Right. Other than the graffiti, it looks fine, right?
Correct. Right.
Yeah. How may I help you, sir?
Well, we're in the process of replacing an old screen porch that was on this house. It wasn't code, I'm sure, and wasn't original to the house because they'd poured like a slab, like over a flagstone patio. So it wasn't level or anything. Well, it's turning out to be a real room now, you know, with walls and ceilings and windows and real doors, and it's got the drywall, and we have a split unit AC heat unit in there. Our question is, since it's probably not going to be a room that we would use full time, does the drywall have to be heated in the winter continuously?
I mean, it doesn't, but it may lead to the issue is the framing of the room itself. When it gets so cold that you might experience a little cracking that you didn't get before. You know, in particular, when you just met, you know, we started the phone call and you said, hey, it's cold. You know, the day we had yesterday and before, it gets so cold that the house just shrinks. And, you know, and to be fair, even if you heated it on a day like we had yesterday, it would still happen. You know what I mean? So, you know, I've been in plenty of old homes that had these back porches and whatnot that haven't been heated, and they look fine. You know what I mean? It has more to do with how the thing was built, and, you know, I guess you could roll the dice. You're just looking at it from a standpoint of trying to save a little bit of money, right?
Well, that, and, yeah, I guess that would probably be it, because it's...
Which is fine. I mean, I get it, right? It's like, if you're not in the thing, it's kind of crazy to, in particular, if you shut the thing down, you know, for a couple of months during the winter.
Right, because we didn't take the big sliding door out in between the family room and this room, so it's almost like a separate room. It's not like you would walk from your kitchen to your living room where it's... You know, you wouldn't have to open up a big door.
Right.
So we could easily turn it off or, you know, keep it on either way. Or we could even open the door here and just leave it open, too.
And there's no water or anything like that out there that you got to worry about.
No, there's no water.
No piping, no hose bib or
anything there's, like that. No, there's nothing like that. I mean, there's no water in it at all.
I mean, here's the thing, right? You could roll the dice. You know, we're in February, right? Turn the thing off and get you to middle of March and see what happens.
Yeah, well, right now we got to run in because, I mean, the drywall just went up. They just did all the sanding and the mudding a couple of days ago.
I didn't realize that. Oh, okay, so this is all brand new.
So it's all brand new. It's not finished yet.
Okay,
you know, well, so we're just kind of wondering about it in the future.
All right, well, now that changes a little bit because now there's all kinds of moisture as all of that dries and has to cure. So you got to leave that there for at least a week and let that dry out and really, and you know, I think we're going to hit 40 on Monday, so you should be in pretty good shape there too, but let's keep that going. And then once it's all painted, and done, the fact that it's all brand new and just getting done,
right?
You know, let's see. Why don't you go till? Why don't you go till? Keep it heated until Valentine's Day, and then you can shut the thing down and see what happens. And if you got
to,
we've
been running it. You know, because they asked us to do it when they were doing the, you know, putting the drywall up. So it's been running, and it stays warm, you know. But I guess something else I noticed, too, is, you know, it had to pour a new slab with, you know, a new foundation and all that stuff. You know, so now it's like damp, like on the concrete. Will that eventually go away?
It will. Right. It will.
It will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. You just got to get to spring and summer.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what the contractor said. He said you got to get that concrete warm, you know, because they
keep it going until February and middle of February, and then you want to shut that down. That's fine.
Okay, it sounds great.
All right.
Hey, appreciate all the information and the help,
Charles. You have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. It's 7:31 in the morning. Oh, we got a good noodaloo too. It was the one I thought we were doing 2 weeks ago. Coming up after this report of WGN Radio News. And it's a good one, but I did not know that it was invented by a couple of ladies doing a... I love that. I love that. I love when an idea comes out of, there's got to be a better way to do this. And you and I, right? I'm right about this. We saw these people at the Houseware Show, right? Now I'm going back to my story from a couple weeks ago. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
Oh, sorry.
That's my story. Here we go.
What if I told you could spruce up your kitchen in under 3 hours this weekend?
Say what?
Peel, stick, boom. This weekend's new Tulu 2 claims it can do just that. The Smart Tiles are a quick, easy, and gorgeous backsplash solution for your kitchen, laundry room, bathroom, or RV. It all started back in 1999 when two lovely ladies were having lunch, discussing a new renovation project. They were creative, mostly self-made, and both enjoyed thinking outside the box. Talking about what material to use for the new kitchen backsplash, one of them thought, hey, ceramic is so permanent. Why isn't there something that looks just like ceramic, but can be easy to install and easy to remove? And that's where it all began. The Smart Tiles are self-adhesive, removable tiles that require no special tools, are easy to clean, and resistant to the heat of stovetops and humidity of bathrooms. The Smart Tiles can be installed right over your existing tile or on clean, smooth surfaces. After cleaning the surface, you mark your guidelines using a level or a piece of chalk so you know where and how to align the tiles. Then the fun part, peeling and sticking. Naturally, I thought installation would be similar to piecing the tiles together like a puzzle. However, you actually overlap each tile slightly when applying. Kind of cool. And makes it even easier. The Smart Tiles won't damage the walls, so even if you're in a rental that you want to spruce up, these work great. There's a few places they cannot be installed, such as over porous wood, textured wallpaper, and textured tile, but all that info is on their website. They offer a great variety of colors and designs on the site, and when you've made a decision, they have a feature right there that'll help you measure and calculate how many tiles you're going to need for your space. Prices vary, but looking at one site that sells the Smart Tiles, you can purchase 10 sheets of tiles for about $37. For more information, check out Lou's House Smarts YouTube channel. And be sure to click the subscribe button while you're there.
You know, the thing with the Smart Tiles is when you hear it, you think, it doesn't sound like it's going to look that good. It really looks nice. However, they're doing the photography because it's like, it's a peel and stick tile. It is the absolute best solution. If you did their subway tile and put it up, I just did the kitchen. We did the video and I did legit subway tile. You could do the Smart Tiles. And if I didn't tell you that that's what it was, you wouldn't know. No way. Because there's a texture to it and they really look nice.
A lot of the reviews that, because, you know, you put it up and then I wonder, and everyone writes these great reviews, but then I do wonder a year from now, what is it?
Yeah, right.
And most people do like bloggers do follow-ups, and they're all very good. They all say it looks the same as it does today as it did when I put it up.
Yeah. Well, and in particular, you know, backsplash, it's not, you know, you're not walking on the thing, right? Maybe a little, sauce or something gets spilled on it, but you just wipe it away like you would a normal. And
like the edges don't peel or, doesn't all of a sudden start sliding down the wall.
Right. Hey, nice backsplash. Look at it. It's on the ground. It's cool. Go to youtube.com/housemartstv and you can see images of it and click links and whatnot. So that's good. That's a good one. 857-5574-LOU, 857-557-4568 is our phone number. This is Joanne in Chicago. Hi, Joanne. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hello, Mr. Manfredini. Thank you for taking my call. Let's see. Where do I start? I'm in Chicago, but we have a project in Hawaii that we're renovating one of our rental apartments. And
Wait. You can't just throw out there, we're renovating an apartment in Hawaii. Where in Hawaii?
In Honolulu.
Oh, well, interestingly enough, in a couple of weeks, my wife and I, for our 30th wedding anniversary that was 3 years ago, are going to Hawaii.
You'll love it.
And I'm going to be on the Big Island the last 2 days with my wife there. So if you need me to stop by.
Well, maybe.
All right. Anyway, keep going.
Okay. So we made a very expensive contract with, well-recommended contractor. I even went out in November, walked through the place and what we wanted to have, negotiated for several months, finally got it started 2 weeks ago. But we think this contractor, who was well-recommended by the building manager, has done things out of sequence. He put in the cabinets before he put in the floor. And then we've done other projects here in Chicago, and I'm like, that's not normal, and I don't think so. And then he's also painted the walls before he's scraped up the floors. So it's basically a total rehab, everything from the bathroom, kitchen, everything, lanai, all that. But he hasn't even scraped up the floors. So am I losing my mind, or is that not the normal sequence? I mean, why is he painting the walls already? He hasn't even scraped up the old tile floors yet, or...
Okay, hold on a second. So the flooring... So this is a condo or a house?
A condo.
Okay. And the flooring that's there now is tile?
Yes.
And you're going to put new tile down?
We're going to put an LVT.
Okay.
Electric vinyl tile. Right.
Okay, hold on. You would not put cabinets over a luxury vinyl tile.
Okay.
Because if you ever had a problem with having to take up a board or something like that, you'd be hindered by them being on top of the cabinets. If it was a hardwood floor or it was a ceramic tile floor that, So when I was a builder, we did hardwood floors everywhere, and we put hardwood under the kitchen cabinets more so because 30 years from now when they remodeled the kitchen and they wanted to do stuff, they would say, whoever the builder was 30 years ago, they really thought this through. Now I can do anything I want with the cabinets and not have to patch in the floor. So it was like a little homage to the future. But if you're going to do luxury vinyl tile, now I'm assuming they took up the floor under the cabinets.
Apparently not. They supposedly scraped up the old tile and put it right on the concrete. And they even said to me yesterday that they shimmed it. They had to shim it like an inch and a half. So I was like, they shimmed it. Shouldn't they have just smoothed it out with concrete first? Because it's concrete floor is concrete ceiling.
They shimmed what?
Shimmed up the part of the cabinets to be level.
Oh. Okay, so...
At least an inch and a half.
One quick question. When you call and you speak to the contractor, when he answers the phone, does he say mahalo?
No.
He doesn't?
No, not quite. They would say aloha on emails, but...
Yeah, but they don't say mahalo when they say... Well, that's what I would sort of... I would demand that.
They're thinking I'm a pain in the neck trying to change their system.
Okay, if it were me, okay, now I've never built anything in Hawaii, but they build houses like we build them here. The flooring should have come out first because that's the messiest thing. And the cabinets should have been placed on the concrete. And then the luxury vinyl, and then hopefully that's nice and flat and, you know, somewhat level. But sure, you got to shim it a little bit. And then the luxury vinyl tile would go up to that with a, you know, 3/8 of an inch gap around it, where then they'd put some shoe molding. And and then, I mean, to me, the painting would be the absolute last thing. But, you know.
Exactly. At least that should be last. It's like,
I understand. But what I don't know, what I can't speak for is, you know, it's maybe it's about availability of contractors. Hey, the painter's ready this day. We'll paint it all and we'll come back and touch it up. But I mean, it, does the flooring have to come out of the entire unit?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it seems a little, you know what.
And we're tiling the bathroom. So definitely the cabinet. And then we asked for a 27-inch cabinet. They gave us a 30-inch cabinet. We asked for, I don't know, it's miscommunication, not thinking it through. The person who's like the managing, who's his wife, and the contractor is her husband. And so I don't know, this, you know, not getting the right drawer cabinet, not getting the right size cabinet for the bathroom, not pulling up the tile. I mean, something like they want to throw up the hands like, well, if we rip out the cabinets now, it's going to be on your cost. And I told them, don't buy the handles, and they don't, you know, wait till we approve it. And they bought the handles already and started drilling holes into the cabinets.
Okay. Well, it sounds like to me, my friend, that, you know, trying to manage this job from, you know, thousands of miles away is coming to bite you in the rear end, and you have the wrong contractor. I know that's not what you want to hear, but you know, the thing is that I'm sure that none of this is inexpensive, but you don't want to waste a bunch of money to have it cost you money down the line. It makes no sense to me that they would put the cabinets in over the old floor that needs to come up. That is, that's like building 101.
That's what I would think. You know, at least take the old stuff off. Why would I put new stuff on top of the old stuff?
Correct. So,
and then, you know, they need us to do a skim coat if the other part of the condo is uneven. They, instead of shimming, you can't shim everything everywhere. That's the LVT won't sit right.
No, correct. That's got to lay as flat as possible. I mean, in a perfect world with the concrete, they would, you know, take that all up. They may have to do a little floating of the concrete floor so to get rid of pockets and whatnot. I hear someone call. Exactly. I hear someone calling you. I think it's the guy from Hawaii. He's streaming. He's streaming the show right now. Going, this lady's gonna get my name on. I'm never gonna work again. I wonder if we have any listeners in Hawaii. You can send him this conversation and tell him that. But don't. Here's the thing, Joanne. I know you don't want to do this, but if you know you need to, new stuff doesn't go on top of old stuff. All the demo, all the big nasty stuff happens first. Painting is the absolute last contractor that comes
into
the place.
That's what I thought.
And so you're not crazy, and you need to have a come to you know what meeting with this guy, and say we need to get this right. Otherwise, we're going to stop. Then you got to find somebody else. But ultimately, I think it'll cost you less.
We wrote him a big check already, Lou.
Well,
it was a very big. It was like $30,000.
Okay. Well, then you need to come to some sort of agreement that you're both happy with.
So you think it's okay for the cabinets to sit on the concrete after the old stuff is ripped up? But
100%.
They want to put the cost of the thing. And then the granite, the quartz countertops they put on there, they said, oh, we're going to smooth it out later. But it looks so rough. Shouldn't it be done in the factory or off-site to make that?
Wait, the countertop they're using is not finished when it gets to the job site?
No.
Yeah,
no.
This is bad contractor 101.
That's what I thought.
Right. Find out if the National Association of the Remodeling Industry has a chapter in Hawaii. They may. And see if you can look this guy up or look other contractors up or get a second opinion for have someone come in at the very least, someone local, to just say this. And you may need to go out there, you know, physically.
Yeah. I was looking at cheap lights this morning.
Right.
Already.
Right.
I
got to let you go, Joanne. I'm bumping up against time, but keep me posted, okay?
All right. But thank you very much for taking my call.
You got
it. And we'll work. Okay. But it won't be too short for the cabinets to sit on the concrete and the LVP sitting above it.
The countertops, the cabinets are 34 and a half high. The LVT is an eighth of an inch. And you're going to have a countertop. You're going to have 36 inches, you know, give or take a quarter of an inch when you're all said and done.
Okay.
Joanne, I have one thing to leave you with.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Aloha.
Aloha. Mahalo.
Mahalo. See? Look, we ended on a positive. 857-5574-LOU. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. I think the EPA estimated that for every degree you go down annually, you can save like up to 3% on your energy bills. And so, you know, there's something to be said. We joked about setting the thermostat, but, you know, if you normally keep it at 70 and you brought it down to 68 and you wore some socks and whatever. I mean, 68 is not, you know, we would love 68 degrees right now, right? We'd be outside in shorts and a t-shirt, but in our houses, we're like, oh my gosh, it's so cold. But that can really save you a lot of money. Well, after 8:30 this morning, I'm going to talk with a company out of Tennessee that has been around since like the 1800s, and they make wood-burning furnaces. What's funny is, Lindsay, I don't know if you know this, maybe you do, but when we set up to have the conversation with the guy, they were actually on a corporate retreat when I spoke with the gentleman, you know?
No.
In Jamaica.
Stop.
I go, I bet they don't have any wood-burning furnaces there. He goes, not that I can find. That conversation's coming up after 8:30 this morning. Hey, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. With Don Kleppen. I wish everybody knew how, like, take a break. She's yelling at me all the time. Everybody thinks you're so nice. Yeah. What do you want me to do? How about
the seventh caller? Text her.
Seventh. So text 857-557-4LOU. Let's do this because text the word Chevy. Giving a little shout out to our Chevy people. And the seventh texter that texts to 857-557-4LOU. We have a four-pack of tickets to the Chicago Auto Show, February 11th through the 26th at McCormick Place. You can get the tickets at chicagoautoshow.com, and we'll mail the tickets out to you. So, seventh texter at 857-5574-LOU. But you can also call me at 857-5574-LOU, and that's what Craig did in Palatine. Hey, Craig, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
And a New Orleans suggestion for you as well. You've got to go to Jazz Fest. It's an outdoor festival.
Oh, I know.
Yes. So I've been there for the third time.
Have you been down there?
Yes, twice before and going again this year. See Santana and with my son and his wife.
We're actually going to go down there for Easter to spend Easter with our daughter. Our family's going to go down there. And I know Jazz Fest, that's coming up, right?
Yes, it's always the last weekend of April
right. And
the first weekend of May.
I heard it's so much fun. My daughter-in-law was trying to get down there and with a bunch of her friends, I think last year, was it last year got canceled or the year before, whatever year it was. And so the lineup and the people that they get down there, I mean, New Orleans is just a city full of music everywhere you go. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, so much fun in the parades, and both my son and daughter-in-law are in their different groups that participate in the parade.
Oh, nice.
They have so much fun.
Yeah, that's absolutely. So fun. That's great. Well, that's a good suggestion. Yeah. Thank you. How may I help you this morning?
So we have a Corian sink inlaid into the Corian countertop, and in the sink there's a stain that we just cannot get out. We've tried Barkeeper's Friend. We've tried the Comet with bleach. We've tried the Mr. Clean pad. No luck.
We need to.
I left in there.
Yeah, I know. But we need to. I think that what you need. So in the. So where the sink is, this stain, is it on a flat portion of the sink or is it by the drain?
So it's by the drain. It's pretty flat, though.
Okay. You just need to sand it. And you need to.
That's what my wife thought you said.
You need to sand the whole entire bottom side of it so that you don't. Remember, the corian, that color that you see both in your countertop and on the sink, is all the way through. And so that stain, I mean, I'm super surprised that you weren't able to get it out. But if you were to. I'm trying to think of how I'm going to have you do this that will make the most sense so you don't get a lot of swirls. Let me think about this, how we're going to... because it's down in the sink. So you don't happen to have a oscillating sander or a random orbit sander, do you?
I have one of those little rabbit... sanders.
Oh, like an electric that vibrates?
Yes.
Okay. So buy, I want you to buy some fine sandpaper. So something like 200 grit.
Okay.
And actually, I take that back. I want you to buy one pad that's 100 grit and then get the 200. And I want you to start with the 100 right around where the stain is, but I don't want you to just concentrate on where the stain is. I want you to kind of spread the whole thing out. And when you get to where the stain is, you can put a little more pressure there, but just sand it. You're going to take, you know, probably a 32nd of an inch off, maybe even a 16th of an inch off, and then you may feel that it's rough. Then you're going to switch to the 200 grit and get it nice and smooth. And if you really want to get it smooth, you could buy some... you know, like 250 grit or 300 grit or even emery cloth and use that on there to really get it nice and smooth. But if you sand it, the stain should come out.
Okay. Okay, great. And then should I worry about the sheen at all? I mean, it's not very shiny, but there's a little bit. Is that something that... I would need to
well
apply.
with the typically the sinks, especially down at the base, are it's kind of a matte finish, right? And so if you go with that emery cloth at the end, you'll get a little bit of a finish to it. It won't be shiny, but you know, if you concentrate on the base of the sink, and then even, you know, you may also Craig, you may also want to get a sanding sponge. A fine sanding sponge, just to do a little hand work when you're done, in particular how the sink kind of rises up, you know, the curvature of the vertical side of the sink that comes down to the base, just kind of to blend it all in together when you're done, and that should, you should be able to do the trick there.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much, Lou.
Be well. Have fun down at Jazz Fest.
Yes, and you too over Easter. Take care.
Bye-bye. Appreciate you calling this morning. 857-5574-LOU. Hey, guess what? It's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet. Kelly, who's calling us from Chicago, also just happened to be the person that texted us. Kelly.
Yes, she was the winner, so when I called her back, she
Kelly.
Said, hey, wait, I've got a question for Lou.
You won the tickets to the auto show, and then when we called you, you said... I have a question. So it's like a double prize.
I know. This is my lucky Saturday. I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket.
Oh, and will you take it all in a lump sum or will you take the annuity?
No, a lump sum.
Oh, yeah. Boy, I can't get anybody to jump on the annuity train. I'm telling you, it's a better use of your well-being. But anyway, you go ahead. I hope you win.
Thank you. So my question is, I had a master bath remodeled, and I had a teak wood floating shower seat put in. Bathroom looks pretty good, but where the seat was mounted to the wall, it broke the tile. The contractor came back fixed it, and it promptly cracked the tile again in more places. And now the contractor has ghosted me. So now I don't know what to do. I'm reaching out to someone to try to do this.
Okay, hold on. I want to understand. So you have a teak seat, and it's mounted to the wall, correct?
Correct.
And did you say it folds up and folds down?
Correct.
And so what part broke the tile?
I'm guessing it was not supported properly behind the tile into the wall, the studding behind there.
So where...
Because where the two...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Where the two, there's two brackets or bolts on each end of it. It's only about 12 inches long. In those joist parts where that attached to the wall, it cracked the tile inferior and superior to that.
Okay, and when it flips down, does it just hang, meaning that
correct.
There's no feet or anything?
There is no support bar. There's no feet, there's no support bar.
Okay.
And I did this because the shower's not that big, so I couldn't put in a stationary or a corner seat.
Right. And do you sit in the chair? Do you use it for shaving?
I generally just use it to shave my legs.
Right.
But upon purchasing that shower seat, it said it would support up to 330 pounds, which I am not.
Good for you. okay. So when I'm looking at this teak chair and how it mounts to the wall, the part that mounts to the wall, is it a continuous bar or are they two separate brackets?
Two separate brackets.
Okay. And when the seat goes down, it somehow, it's all supported from those two brackets when it's in place.
Correct.
And what's on the back side of this wall where the seat is mounted?
Nothing. I mean, that is on the back side. It's the shower is, it would be nothing. Probably metal joystick or whatnot. Because on that same wall inside, there's one of those inlets to put like shampoo.
No. In other words, if I'm not in the bathroom, that wall that the seat is mounted to, is that a bedroom?
Yeah.
Okay. And you said steel studs. Is this a condo?
It is.
Hmm. So, and when you did this bathroom and you gutted it and everything, were the studs open when you saw all this?
Yes.
And do you remember them putting in some sort of backing in on those studs?
I do not, but then when the tile cracked the first time, they came and they ripped out the tile, and then I believe he put some sort of either wooding stud or something behind there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Obviously, it was not enough because then he remounted, and then he applied pressure, and it cracked. And then now I have not been able to get a hold of him, and he won't answer a phone call. And so the wall's going to have to be torn out again because I really don't know what's behind there at this point.
Okay, I'm just trying to understand it all so that we can. So the metal studs are not helping us in this application because you're going to get a little bit of a twist on them. So,
and I think they're wide set. I don't know for sure, but I think they are.
Say that again.
I think they're too wide set for the length of the bench because the bench is where they're petite for the scale of the shower.
Got it. Okay. If I was coming in to fix this, I would take the seat out. I would remove the tile that's there. I would open up the wall behind the bathtub in that bedroom. Within the stud space, I would probably put dimensional lumber, like 2x8s or something like that, and build that would be. It would sit on the ground and then it'll extend up probably 4 feet taller than that. So I'm going to build two big wooden support beams that I can then through bolt the brackets for this chair. And where the brackets are on the tile, I almost wonder whether, what color is the tile you're using?
It is kind of a white with some gray veining in it,
yeah.
But it's matte.
Right. I almost wonder whether instead of mounting it right to the tile, you would do something with spacers or a block of something solid that you would tile around and drill through. It's a little bit more involved. I mean, this is tough because there's a lot of flex in there. And I think this is just going to be a problem for you down the line. That if you're not sitting on it, if that's not, and is this a tub or a shower base?
It's a shower base.
Okay.
It's a walk-in shower.
All right. If it's not ultimately to sit on, would you be open to doing something like a tile ledge that gets mounted like a piece of tile that would be purposeful of shaving your legs?
I would, and I have a couple of ledges in the one, like a corner set. Like,
right, but they make one that's more of a ceramic ledge that's like a long shelf, right? That might be a little different color, but it's a totally different option. I just think that everything that I just told you to do would probably work, but there's still a chance that it cracks. It's too much stress, and those steel studs are squirrely. And maybe your contractor, you know, who's ghosting you and had, you know, if you proposed this idea to him, said, what if we go a complete...
I can't even get him. I have to get a new contractor or someone,
right.
And that's my other question.
Yeah.
I don't even know, do I get a tile setter?
You get a tile setter, and I think you do the latter of my... I think you rethink this whole thing, and I know you bought the teak thing and spent money on that, but I just think you're going to have problems down the line, and I would go a different direction.
Okay, so you're suggesting when I find someone to come and bid this, a ceramic ledge of some sort.
Correct, that sticks out, and you know, three inches or whatever, that comes in 18 inches, they'll set it right in the tile. It's a piece of tile. You're just putting your foot up there to shave your legs. You're not sitting on it. And that would hold up much better in this application.
Okay. I appreciate you and thank you for the auto.
Yeah, have a lot of fun. I appreciate you calling in and texting us. That's awesome. Okay, we're broadcasting from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios. When we come back, we're going to talk about wood-burning furnaces. Yeah, you could heat your whole home with like 3 cords of wood for the winter, and, you know, might be a neat idea. But first, this reported news from Don Kleppen. Joining me on the phone line right now is Brandon Berry, who is the Vice President of Engineering for the U.S. Stove Company. Brandon, good morning, and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Brandon, tell me a little bit about U.S. Stove. Who are you folks, and what do you build?
So U.S. Stove is headquarters in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and our primary business is wood-burning stoves, wood-burning furnaces, wood-burning pellet stoves, just a gamut of heating products in general.
I remember a number of years ago I was traveling in Pennsylvania, and I was in a neighborhood, and I went into this home, and the entire first floor of their home was heated by a cast iron pellet stove. Now, I don't know that it was yours, but I was sort of intrigued, and I was talking to the homeowner, and they said, oh my gosh, it's such an inexpensive way and such a wonderful way to heat a home. You build stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely. So wood-burning pellet stoves have actually, we purchased Breckwell, which is one of the first pellet stove manufacturers in the United States.
Okay.
We purchased them in 2014, if I'm not mistaken.
So you've been building these stoves and putting these things out there. People are using pellets, very clean burning way. I assume that they're mostly cast iron, right? So that they can you know, absorb the heat that the fire's making and then kind of give it off through, you know, residual action from the steel.
Yeah, yeah. So they're actually made of, you know, plate steel and cast iron. Of course, they have, you know, motors and you know, different components that allow you to have an automated system to feed wood pellets and have that as a, you know, a heater itself.
Got it.
So, you know, they're, you know, the one you're talking about was, you know, cast iron. Well, some of them are made out of plate steel.
Got it. And when you say a feeder system, it isn't so the type of thing that when you have the automation within these units, it's not like you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, oh my gosh, the house is cold, I got to shovel some more pellets in there. You set it up and basically it does the work. You just keep an eye on it every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So there is some maintenance with a wood pellet stove, but you know, you essentially set a heat range that you need for your home, and then it'll sit there and do all the work for you.
You mentioned to me before we started recording today that U.S. stove has been around quite some time. Can you give us that history lesson?
Yeah, so U.S. stove started in 1869. Wow. Perry Stove Works was one of the founding companies. Honestly, I'm just not a true historian for the company.
But it's been around. So it's no, that's okay. But it's fair to say it's just been around a very long time. And you obviously have been focused on this business for a long time. One of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was like wood burning furnaces that. You mentioned that you guys had gotten out of that business and then, you know, with EPA regulations and whatnot, you're back in it again where people could heat their entire home with a wood-burning furnace, essentially like a almost like a shed that's out in the backyard a little ways, right?
Well, honestly, our wood-burning furnaces are set to be indoors in a basement area or something similar.
Oh, wow.
They, you know, our wood furnaces will hold, you know, about 40 to 45 pounds of wood. You know, they'll burn for 20 hours, up to 20 hours. They are really designed, like you said, to be a whole home heating appliance. But they're slightly different from what you're talking about, which is most likely a boiler.
Gotcha.
So we're using air as a heat exchanger. And... you know, the furnaces I think you're referring to actually use water.
Got it. Okay, so yours...
to transfer that heat, so your, heat your, into the home.
Yours is going inside, and is it using... is it the type of thing that can be retrofitted to an existing, you know, forced air system that maybe ran off of natural gas or possibly even electric?
Yeah, so it can... It functions off the same style of ductwork that... natural gas or electric furnace would use. So.
Wow. And then when you're talking about something like this, now are you using firewood to feed this furnace? I mean, you're using seasoned firewoods.
Absolutely. So regular firewood. It takes about a wheelbarrow load to fill the furnace. To be honest with you.
And you fill that up with wheelbarrow full of wood, and you can burn it for about 20 hours.
Wow. Up to 20.
Up to 20, sure. So depending on
most
temperatures,
of the time,
yeah.
You know, 12 to 15, but up to 20.
Now you're just buying firewood, and if you've got the property to store that, I mean, you could probably get you could do the math, right, and figure out how much. Certainly the price of wood varies where you live, but have you guys done any kind of engineering studies as to the average home and, like, how many cords of wood it would take to get you through a winter season?
Yeah, so that varies from home to home, absolutely. So what typically people use in a wintertime is anywhere from 3 to 5 cords of wood. Mm-hmm. If they're heating with a furnace or even a wood stove. They're very similar in the fuel consumption rate.
You said 4 to 5 cords of wood?
Three to five.
3 to 5. Okay, 3 to 5 cords of wood. All right, I got to do the math and figure out what the... I don't think I've ever bought a cord of wood. I buy it for the outdoor fire pit and whatnot, but you know, depending on what the pricing is at, and then you're not no natural gas. You got to do a little bit extra work, right, to to keep it running. I assume there's an ash container that every now and then you got to empty out and keep it clean. But are they are they pretty reliable as far as once they're going, they're working?
Yeah, absolutely. As long as you're keeping the furnace fed with wood periodically, they're a very reliable system.
Wow. That's very interesting. Brandon Berry is the vice president of U.S. Stove Company. Brandon, if people want to learn more about the products that you guys make, where can we send them?
Yeah, so you can go to www.usstove.com. And another one of our websites is www.breckwell.com. And you can learn more about, you know, our wood stoves, wood pellet stoves. We also sell wood pellet grills, outdoor fire pits, large gamut of heating products.
That's awesome. Brandon, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. I really do appreciate it. Hope you have a terrific rest of your day.
Thank you very much, and I really appreciate it.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Our phone number is 857-5574. Lou, 857-557-4568. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. With the cold weather, and we was we talked about slips and falls, and I featured three different ideas for you that you can probably go to WGN Radio, WGNTV.com, because they typically post the segments that I do. But remember, we talked about the Hold Tight Rails as a Noodaloo 2, that really nice metal made in Minnesota, American made, powder coated, really nice stuff. That is a really nice handrail to consider installing around your home to keep you on your feet. Then there's a company out of Kenosha called Handy Ramp that makes a bunch of different products for accessibility. And they make these aluminum treads that are come in different lengths, and they have like an aluminum, it's like a non-slip, the way it's engineered, there's like these little holes that really grip it, and they come in aluminum, they come in powder-coated finish, black and green and white, and you literally just screw them down to steps. You can put them either on concrete or the end of your deck. It's a really smart idea, and they're very durable. It's a very thick aluminum. I've used them a couple times on some rental properties that we have, and I've been really impressed with the durability on them, and I really, really like it. And then a company, we talked about this a long time ago, but it's this company called Heat Tracks. And essentially, they make these plug-in mats that you can use on steps, you can use on landings, has a very heavy-duty cord, has a built-in GFCI breaker built into the cord as well. So you could plug it into, outlet outside and put it right in front of your doormat. And any kind of snow or ice that goes there is not going to be a problem. It's just going to melt away. And if you let the dogs out in the wintertime, they'll come in and probably just sit on that pad because they'll be so happy with how warm it is. So three ideas to keep you on your feet. Winter's not over yet. We still got some cold weather and snow and ice coming our way, and you just want to be prepared for sure. 857-5574, Lou. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. This is Diane calling in from Wisconsin. Hey, Diane, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm well. What's going on?
Oh, I have a problem. We have a gas fireplace in our house, and there's like a piece of metal that runs across the top of it, you know, before the heat goes through the flue.
Okay.
And the paint's come off of it. What kind of paint can I use to painted? It's a tan.
Is this this metal that you're talking about? So when I'm looking at the fireplace, this is like a piece of metal horizontally that goes across?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And you said it's tan?
The whole inside of it is painted a tan color, beige.
The whole inside of it.
You know, the brick wall all around, the walls around it.
Okay, wait. I'm not following. So the brick on the so this is a metal fireplace insert, correct?
No. There's bricks around it, but there's one horizontal strip of metal at the very top.
That's on the outside. So when I'm looking at the fireplace, if I walk up to it, I can just reach out and touch it.
No, it's in the back wall of the fireplace.
Oh, it's in the back wall of the fireplace. I don't think I'm going to get you anything that's and this is wood-burning fireplace?
No, gas.
Okay. I don't think I'm going to get you any tan color that's going to hold up. There is a high-heat paint that Rust-Oleum makes, but I believe it only comes in black. Could you live with black?
Sure.
Okay, so if you go to a paint store or a hardware store, you're looking for, you're going to scrape what's there, right, to clean it all up and maybe even sand it a little bit. And this high heat paint, they make one in a spray can, but they also make one in like a, you'd buy it in a quart. You'll never use a quart, but this is a better way to put it on. And I would just clean it up really well, sand it. Go right over the top with one coat, let that dry, another coat, and, really do a good job to make it nice and smooth, and let it cure, because it's an oil-based product, so probably let it cure for, I don't know, 2-3 days or so before you light a fire.
Okay.
It's not a forever thing, but it should hold up for, at least... You know, depending on how many fires you make, but,
in this weather, it's really cold up here.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I think that you would probably get at least a season or two out of it before you'd probably have to touch it up.
Oh, terrific. All right. Then we've got a project to do.
You got your work cut. It's actually beautiful out with the sun out today, so get out there and...
Yeah, it is. It is.
Enjoy.
All right. Thank you so much, Lou.
You got it, Diane. Be well. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Okay, couple things. We'll continue. We've got an hour left of House Smarts Radio, so anything I can help you with, please don't hesitate to call. I'm happy to help you out in any way you can. We'll do our Just Text Me segment after 9:30 this morning, and... it's a beautiful day. It's not as cold as it was yesterday, that's for sure. So get out there and enjoy it. I might have to get out there myself and do a little cleanup in the driveway and that kind of stuff when I get home. So I'm sure you guys all have projects as well. All right. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. You're listening to House Smarts Radio. You're maybe, got nothing else to do. Somebody told me that there's this series called The Offer that is about the making of the movie The Godfather.
Do you know who told you this, or are you suffering from lethologica right now?
Would that be... Was it you that told me?
No, actually, it wasn't.
Good build-up, though.
I was curious.
But it was a good use of the word.
Thank you.
Evidently, it's not a documentary, but it's like a movie, a series... about the making of The Godfather and how it was all involved.
Oh.
And I could not for the life of me figure out how to find this stupid thing. I mean, you do this, you do that. And you jump around like crazy to try and find. And then what did I end up? I ended up watching You People on Netflix.
Oh, how was that?
I didn't finish it. There were moments of it that were funny, and then it just became... annoying.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's the Jonah Hill, Eddie Murphy one, right?
Yeah. I mean, I love seeing Eddie Murphy, and he plays this, it's very funny, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus is in it, and she's still funny.
Yeah, she's great.
And basically the premise of the movie is Jonah Hill and his family, a white Jewish family from L.A., and he falls in love with a woman who is black, and her family is from, a different part of L.A., and hilarity is supposed to ensue, with a lot of racial tensions and, people not saying the right things. And I will say that I don't want to say, but Jonah Hill, his character, you're like, this guy is a complete goof. And then there's a little twist. That's all I'm going to say.
Nice.
Softens up at the end.
Yeah. So It was, yeah, not good.
All right.
Are we watching the Oscar nominated movies? Any of you?
Yeah, I the try. Screeners. I was watching The Fablemans the other night.
What'd you think?
It's good. It's definitely like a Spielberg. A lot of the shots are amazing. The story kind of moves between big moments, and it is kind of cool to see like the little hallmarks of what made him make certain movies. You know, references to things like
his origin story, right? It's kind of cool.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Seeing how his parents kind of built him up and stuff.
I watched the Everything All at Once. Everything's Coming Falling Down.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. How is that one?
It's freaky. It's like a Matrix meets laundry.
Laundromat.
Literally, it is. It is the oddest thing. I mean, it's super conceptual, right? And is it Elaine Cho, the actress?
Yes, I think
her last
so.
Name. Does that sound right?
Yeah,
she's terrific. Just a lovely woman, and just a really terrific actress. And but it is it. You really got to let yourself go to enjoy that one, right? You got to be nice. Like, all right, okay.
Like maybe, well.
I'm just going to tell you there's a bagel in it that plays a prominent role. Okay?
What kind of bagel?
Well, you're going to have to watch it.
Spoiler.
I guess it would have to be an everything bagel, huh?
Well, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there.
Gotcha.
All right. So anyway, keep watching. Why not? It's fun. But it does seem like the movies are like the ones that are all nominated are really out there. Like there's something going on. I think all these filmmakers were locked up in the pandemic, and then they came up with all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And this is what we have to choose. Where's a Love Actually? Where's a little rom-com for me to wrap my arms around? Like, oh, he's so cute.
I know.
I mean, totally. I was, you know, my sister-in-law worked on that movie, Something from Tiffany's, and I was kind of joking about, I want that movie back.
Totally.
Right?
Yes. Well, you got Maverick. Come on, that's a...
I'm telling you,
rom-com.
I don't even think that got nominated.
It's
or did
like
it?
Oh, yeah. People just look to see the strange, like, what is the strangest concept we can put?
I'm just looking for a little boy meets girl.
Absolutely.
Boy loses girl. Boy conquers girl. It could be boy meets boy. It could be girl meet. I'm all in. Everybody love. Why not?
But that's everything.
Give me
on
one
the Hallmark
of those.
Channel. Just go to the Hallmark channel. You're good.
I could do that,
that's
right.
That's true.
They they're all the same ones,
exactly.
Right? Yeah, I guess that's right. Exactly.
Exactly.
So those are not nominated, though, Andy.
No, they're not.
All right. 857-557-4, Lou. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. And we're going to do our Just Text Me segment coming up just a second. But let's go back to the phone lines right now. This is Leslie in Villa Park. Hi, Les. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Thank you for taking my call. I brought in some stuff from my garage so it wouldn't freeze over the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the items, I stored them in a spare room. And I had it sitting on the floor, and it was a can of deck stain. Well, somehow it must have got tipped over and leaked out about a 3 by 4 foot area, and it dried with, like, cardboard boxes. It seeped underneath there and stuff. So I pulled it up, but now the stain is a big blob, dried with cardboard on it. Is there anything I can do, or I for sure have to call a professional?
What is the flooring that you set it on?
Oh, hardwood.
Oh. Maybe. So let's try this. Let me ask you this. The hardwood, when's the last time you had that hardwood refinished?
It's been quite a few years, but it's a room that isn't used very often, so we
and
just,
would
like,
you
store.
Right, and would you say, if you had to guess, probably that you used a waterborne finish back then?
I think it was like maybe a polyurethane finish.
All right.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I have it written down somewhere, but not at my
all
head.
All right. Well, so here's what I would try. How big is the area?
Maybe like 3 foot by 4 foot.
Okay. Let's try this. Full disclosure, you know, we own a hardware store in Villa Park. And if you go there, you can buy a can of something called Howard's Restore-A-Finish. And I want you to buy a bottle of that in the neutral finish. And then buy a little packet of plastic putty knives.
Okay.
Now, where this stain is, right in the center, where the middle of this blob, I want you to pour a little bit of that on there, give it a couple seconds, and then use the plastic putty knife to see if you can scrape up what's there. Now, I'm betting that the finish is waterborne polyurethane, not oil.
Okay.
And if that's the case, the Howards will have an effect on the deck stain, but not the waterborne finish.
Okay.
And you're going to scrape that up, and you're like, hey, it's working. Then take, like, some old rags and wipe up the rest of it until you get it all done, and then just put a little bit on the rag and wipe the floor down, and you may be successful. Now, this is a petroleum-based product, so make sure that, you know, it's not super cold today. You could open up a window if you want to try it today. And when you're done with these rags, don't just throw them in the garbage can because it's petroleum-based. Put them in a bucket, fill it with water so that they get drenched with water, then dump them and put them in the garbage can.
Okay.
You got all that?
Yes, I do.
And be careful.
And then will that stuff help to scrape up the cardboard that's stuck
correct.
On there, too?
Correct.
Okay.
Don't.
And then if that I'm not satisfied with that, then a floor refinisher should be able to sand it up and maybe patch the stain in that area?
They'll have to sand the whole room.
They will?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
alrighty.
There's no way to blend it up. But if I'm right about the water-based polyurethane, I think this might work. If you notice, though, Leslie, if when you're scraping it, if you notice that you see a little bit of that clear coming up from the bottom, just go a little lightly with that and use less of the Howards so that, you know, it's really not designed for hardwood floors. That's not what it's made for. It'll even say that on the container. But we're going to use this to take up the stain that probably is not bonded to the polyurethane, and I think you should. Let me think about this. Hold on a minute. Now I'm having second thoughts. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay.
Let's do this. Go. Okay. Go buy the Howards, but I want you to buy a bottle of Crud Cutter.
Okay.
And I want you to, before you use the Howards, try the Crud Cutter first. Spray that onto a section on the edge of it. Let it sit there for 5 minutes, and then use the putty knife and see if it'll cut that stain and not affect the polyurethane underneath there. If that works, use that. If that doesn't work, then go to the Howards.
All right. Sounds good. I'll give it a shot.
All right. I appreciate you calling.
Thank you so much. Bye.
857-557-4LOU, 9:21 in the morning. We will take a quick break.
Good morning, Lou. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Got a question for you. We've been in this house about 28 years now. The sump pump cover, the metal plate that is on the top of the sump pump, has over the years gotten deteriorated because of some water that has gotten on it. And it's just continued to flake. The paint came off. It's been rusting. It's finally just, it's at the end of its life. We want to replace it, but we have one pipe coming out of the sump pump for the actual sump pump. We have a backup pipe for the watchdog backup. And then we also have a spot where the water that comes from the humidifier drains in there. So I can't use one of those, you know, prefabbed caps that
lids,
goes
right.
on and has either this, yeah, the lid that has the slit or, you know, a single hole. So is there what would be the best material to try and cover it with? I've looked at some things online. Some of them say like plexiglass, but
No. They make a sump pump lid. They make a synthetic composite sump pump lid that has no holes.
Okay.
And then you can drill whatever you want, and then you can and you can, you know, organize it any way you want. So it's a I'm trying to think of what the material is. It's not plastic. Well, it is a type of plastic, but it's a plastic that has like fibers on it. It's very durable. And so you would order the lid. I mean, you could probably get it at a plumbing supply house like Where are you, Mike? Homer Glenn? You got like a Crawford Supply out by you or Ferguson Supply? And measure.
Yeah, you got Ferguson.
Okay, so measure the, you know, the width of your sump pump pit. And and then just say, I need a lid with no holes. And they'll be like, all right, buddy, here you go. And then so you they do make, and this is a sump pump, not a an ejector pit.
No, this is a sump.
Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, they do also make these collars that you can buy that mount. So if you drill, you're going to need a hole saw, right, to drill a probably, you know, the
2.5.
Well, you probably have an 1.5-inch pipe coming out of the sump, but you're probably going to drill a 2-inch hole just so you got a little bit of some play. And they make this little collar that has two little holes in it and a rubber boot that once you kind of get it all where you want it to go, you slide these things on there, and it looks very professional, very, you know, seals it up. Not that, you know, with a sump pump pit, it's not critical that you seal it, but it's, you know, it's a good one. Ferguson will have it for sure.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you very much.
You got it, bud. Appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. Let's see if we can get Steve in here before news. Calling in from Chicago. Hey, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a real quick question. I have an old wood floor, polyurethane on top, and it had and black marks where a dog peed, and I didn't catch it in time, and it got underneath the chair leg, and now I have black spots on the floor, and I was wondering if you could get that off.
So where the black spots are, you think is the polyurethane, is it worn away at that spot?
No, it just discolored it.
That's all it did. Okay. I hate to have you do this with the, I just don't want to mess with the finish. Let's try and break it apart with an enzyme cleaner. So there, I was talking about a product called Crud Cutter that is, Rust-Oleum now owns it, but it's a degreaser and a cleaner, and it's a concentrate. Squirt that onto the black spots and let it sit there for like, I don't know, 3 to 4 minutes. And then use a white Scotch-Brite pad with the grain. And go back and forth. Okay. I don't want a ton of pressure. I just want nice, even pressure. And see then if you wipe it with a damp rag, that pulls it off without damaging the surface of the floor.
Great.
All right.
Thank you.
You got it. Appreciate you calling this morning. 857-5574-LOU. The accidents with the dogs, not a fun time. Not a good time. And, you know, they do it, I think, when they're just, I don't know why they do it. Why can't they just get along and be happy and go outside when they want to go? Is that so hard to ask? Is that such a tough thing? No, I don't think so. Hey, let's do our Just Text Me segment after news. 857-5574-LOU. How can I help you? We'll rattle through a bunch of questions. Half an hour left of House Smarts Radio. Hey, that's Steve Bertrand. And you know what? It was his birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Steve Bertrand. Hey, a few years back, I needed to make a change in the way I felt, the way I looked, and I needed to improve my overall health. Well, Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating Meals were recommended to me. In total, I lost 39 pounds, and I'm maintaining a 30-pound weight loss. I feel great. I sleep great. My blood pressure and cholesterol are great. And I have Seattle Sutton to thank. They'll deliver fresh, never frozen meals that are dietitian designed and executive chef prepared. And they deliver them right to your door. They have breakfast. They have lunch. They have dinner, taking all the work out of eating healthy. You just heat it and enjoy. No shopping, no dishes, no hassle. They had some chicken kebab thing the other day with like some hummus and a little Greek olive salad. It was, I like to dip the olive salad in the hummus and then take a bite of that and then the chicken, it's on a kebab. It is so good. I mean, what am I going to say? Lights out. No hassle. The average cost per meal, way less than you spend on fast food, and obviously a whole lot healthier. Don't go on a diet. Go for a sustainable change. Eat healthier, feel better, and lose weight. Call Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating today. 800-442-3438. 800-442-3438. Tell them Lou wants you to start with that kebab thing. It's delicious. Or you can go to their website. Visit SeattleSutton.com.
Time for Just Text Me.
How do you do this?
Maybe it's your fingernails. It's easy, look.
It's that easy.
And send.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini, and House Smarts Radio.
It's so funny how we don't talk.
You can just text me at 857-5574-LOU, 857-557-4568, and you can call. We figured this way we can go through a bunch of text messages, and maybe there's a question that you are interested in. I get this all the time, right? We're like, you've answered this 1,000 times, and it never, I was never in that situation, it never worked, and now I need this question answered. So go ahead, what do you got for me?
All right, I have residue from drywall repair in a new cast iron tub. I can't seem to get it off. Tried Mr. Clean Pad and the usual bathroom cleaners. There's still a sandy residue, like the tub is dirty. Will crud cutter remove this?
Really? Wait a minute, say that again. Drywall residue.
Drywall repair. Residue from drywall repair.
Oh, I mean, all that should have worked. Maybe what we need to do there is with the drywall residue, or maybe the mud or whatever they used. I mean, usually water and a little scrubbing pad should be all you need if it's, you know, obviously waterborne finish. How about we just use some warm water, a Scotch-Brite pad, and or my favorite thing. Everybody, by the way, everyone listening, you should all have plastic putty knives in a drawer because they're sharper than you think, and they will not damage surfaces when I tell you, hey, get a plastic putty knife. That's something you should have like a potato peeler. Potato peeler and a plastic putty knife. You should have that in your drawer. So try that. It should work. How about another one?
How about I have a concrete driveway, and when it rains, I get pooling water in a couple of different areas. What can I do to resolve this?
Mm. I mean, if it's kind of in the center of it where the concrete is dipped, the only really solution is to actually float that area out with like a concrete topping coat, which... The problem is that you're not going to like how that looks. The coloring is not going to, it's not going to be the same. It'll take care of the pooling issue. Like Sacrete makes a product that you can feather, but the thickness is like a half an inch. You can't feather. You need it to be like going from zero to, you know, they have this thing Sacrete called Fast Setting Cement Patcher. But the problem is you're going to have this different color patch, even if you blend it in. So other than redoing the whole thing, I don't think that there's much you can do with that.
Boo.
Sorry.
I know
the answers sometimes are not what you want to hear.
Yes.
Like the lady in Hawaii.
Yeah, she didn't like that. But you gotta.
Here's the thing that worries me about, like, what that lady said about in Hawaii, that, and I get it, you're from a distance, but she gave the guy a big amount of money up front. $30,000. That's tough, right? And you're here, and he's there. All right, keep going. What are you laughing at?
Can I peel potatoes with a putty knife?
Sure.
Wait, how about this one? Lou, I have a rubber weather trim in... That's from your friend Mike J, by the way.
Uh-huh.
I have a rubber weather trim and want to place it on the inside of the door.
Wait a minute. You're having...
Lithothargia? What is it?
Lithologica issue with that word.
I have a rubber weather trim in... Period. Want to place...
What? Say that again? I have a rubber.
We're going to end with the putty knife. I can't read this.
You can't even read it?
No.
Okay. That's our Just Text Me segment. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. This is David in Naperville. Hey, David, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Well, howdy. Love your show.
Thank you.
I've got a question for you. I am a big fan of InstaFlow after you recommended it a few weeks ago.
Okay. Yep.
I just wanted to know, does that have a residual effect farther down the sewer line, or is there another product that is good for sewer line maintenance? I mean, like 20 feet down from all the drains into the cast iron?
I don't know that it has a residual value. I mean, you know, the whole idea behind that InstaFlow product is those chips, and as you dissolve them initially, they kind of create... when water hits it, it creates heat, and then it kind of starts dissolving and munching everything up. Now, they do make an enzyme called EcoFlow, which...
I thought that, and I was at the local Ace, and they didn't have it, but I recall buying it a number of years ago, yeah. So that is still made.
It is, and that one, I think, is, you know, I'm not a chemist, so I don't know the exact difference in it, but I know that there's an enzyme, and the idea behind that, I believe, is that the residual with the enzyme is you use the product in the same form, but like if you use it at night, right, and then you're not using, or whenever you can, where you're not using the water or running anything, that will help to, kind of dissolve what might be sitting in a sewer line or your main stack or something like that.
Yeah, that's the idea. So the EcoFlow can go into, like, say, a toilet or a floor drain where the InstaFlow really can't. They say, you know, don't put it where the standing cold
Correct.
Water.
I'm not 100% sure about the EcoFlow in a toilet. That one... I mean, if you're really looking for a sewer enzyme, one that I have recommended forever is a company called Robic,
Robic.
I think it's Roebic, and that one is the one you flush in a toilet. You put like half a bottle in. Actually, I think you dissolve it in water, then you pour it down the toilet, flush the toilet, go to bed or leave for the day, whatever it might be. That one I have used for a number of years, and it has been, it's worked really well.
But that was my question, and I think I'll look for the Robic product then.
You got it.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so great much for show. The phone call. I appreciate it. That's very kind of you. I hope you have a great rest of your day. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. Let's go back to the phone lines here. And, she's just putting her on hold right here. And there she is. This is Ingrid. Hi,
yes.
Ingrid. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Lou. Love your show. Watch it. Listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
My problem is... I have a plastic shed out in the yard. It's an 8x10. And the north side of it, the roof and wall on the north side, is covered with something that looks like black mold.
Yep.
And I think it's because it's only 3 feet from the side of another shed, so it doesn't get sunlight.
Right.
What can I use on that? Because it looks awful.
When it warms up, so you're going to have to wait a little bit. But you're going to use my favorite product, Wet and Forget.
Okay, I was going to ask about that.
And now with the shed, you know, they do make... How tall would you say the roof is?
It's not more than 7 feet at the peak, I don't think.
Okay, so you got a couple of options. They do make a pre-mixed bottle that you could, you know, get up on a step ladder next to it and squirt it onto the roof, but they also make this product called Extreme Reach that you connect to a garden hose. Now, the key with that, with the shed, is that you're going to first take the water and spray the grass or bushes that are around the shed, right? Get that wet. Then you plug this into the hose. And actually, there's a setting on it that you can spray the water and then use the cleaner on there. But then you're going to click it, and you're going to start at the top, and you're going to spray. And you'll see it'll, like, foam up like, you know, you're spraying almost like dish soap, but it's not dish soap. Mm-hmm. Spray it at the top. Spray it at the side. Let that sit. Spray down the grass and the vegetation one more time with water. And in about probably 2 weeks, the wet and forget, actually on a plastic shed like that, it's going to work pretty quickly. It's going to work with the rain and the wind, and it's going to clean it all up. And the fact that you're on that north side, that's very common because you don't get a lot of sun. And it might be the kind of thing that you repeat, you know, twice a year type of thing.
Okay, but you think, would the extreme reach be better? Because I can, because you can't put any weight, you know, you can't.
Well, I mean, with the hose thing, as long as you wet everything down, then you don't have to get up on a ladder, right?
Right.
And, but you just need to, the thing is, it kills organic material. That's why you have to spray down the grass. And, you know, be careful with it. Don't, you know, don't spray it like you're opening up a fire hydrant.
Right. It's a hard place to reach it to because there's only a little over 3 foot, maybe close to 4 foot of space between it and the shed next to it.
But you could, so, but if you had, if I put a spray nozzle on the end of a garden hose without the wet and forget, you could spray it with a garden hose, right?
Yeah.
Then this is exactly what this is exactly what you want to use. And I would say that this is a project, once we get out of the freezing weather, you know what I mean? Like maybe March, this is your project. And by April, it'll look great.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4LOU. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. And we'll be back right after this.
But I said I got dissed.
Yeah, well, she's Bono, like, not my favorite. No. He's very, Bono's very busy. He can't be bothered with us in Dublin. That's okay. We'll have fun without him, right? We absolutely will have fun without him. But we may have other surprises. I know I was talking to Steve Bertrand. You know, it was his birthday yesterday. He said that they're working on some stuff. Like, they have some contacts that we may, you know. It's a lot. The Irish are very hot right now. The Banshees of Inisherin, you know, all that kind of stuff. The Bad Sisters, you know, that whole thing. Your sisters, right? So, whatever. Right? Your sister.
We're the good sisters,
your sister. You're the good sisters. There's the bad sisters. 857-557-4. Oh, she just dropped off. 857-557-4568. Angie, I was just going to pick up the phone and talk to you. Just 1 second there. 857-557-4. Lou is our phone number. Here's Angie in Tinley Park. Hi, Angie.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How may I help you this morning?
We just moved into this house in April. In fact, it was April 1st. And we decided to buy new appliances because three of the appliances were not working properly and costing us a lot of money.
All right.
And I need to get countertops. So I looked in the Southland's Best book and found three different people. Is that a good idea, and is it a bad idea I bought the appliances before we put the countertops in?
Absolutely not, because they will be able to come and measure the countertops, and based on your appliances and how they sit inside the kitchen, they absolutely can do all that replacement, you know, without that. And yes, it's a great idea. You're down in Tinley Park, and to get, you know, perhaps three different people to come and bid. Do you know what you want as a countertop?
I have no idea.
Okay. And are we willing to spend...
I don't know anything about prices.
Okay. Are we willing to spend a little bit of money to do something nice that's going to look good? Because I think the most durable and best option is a quartz countertop.
Okay.
But, you know, depending...
Well, what about my idea of looking in the Southland's Best for 22? Is that a good idea?
Say that
or
again.
Or should I just ask around? I found the three places in the Southland's Best for 22, two in Mokena and one in Tinley.
Yeah.
Is it a good idea?
But they do countertops, correct?
It says kitchen and bath remodeling.
Okay.
Like shillings.
Correct. But keep in mind that if you're not doing anything with the cabinets, you're just looking for a countertop supplier.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have any suggestions?
Not too far from you, in Alsip, there's Fox Home Center.
Okay.
Fox Home Center has a nice showroom, and they do have a relationship with separate countertop installers that you could contact to have them come out and take a look at it. And then my recommendation, if your budget allows it, look at quartz because it's non-porous, it's beautiful, it's durable, and it for the sake of argument, it looks, you know, it has a granite look and feel, but in my opinion now, way better, and it's more expensive than a laminate countertop for sure. But it can really dress up a kitchen and be kind of the crown jewel of the whole kitchen remodel.
Okay. What about epoxy countertops?
Epoxy? You mean like...
That you paint on yourself.
Well,
that's what my husband wants to do.
Sure. I mean, you could absolutely, if you have existing countertops there, there are several makers of an epoxy countertop that you can paint. It's not a forever solution. It's probably a 2 or 3 year solution because of the durability of it. So, I mean, you could probably paint the epoxy